Welcome to Heroes of the Hydean Way. This is a Life Play podcast that explores published adventures set in the Fantasy Flight Games Star Wars RPG line. Currently, our story is Friends Like Bees, and it can be found as a standalone module. This is Act 1, Episode 2, and I'm Ben, the GM for this adventure.
I'm Brent, playing TV-93. You can call me Amp. My specialization is enemy demoralization. I'm a sniper and a sharpshooter. And I've got to say, are you from Tatooine? Because you just get me everywhere.
Cringing at that, I'm Christine, and I play Captain Nima Ptolemy, the Mirialan commander tactician of the group, who's going to have to scrub that bad pickup line out of my brain.
I'm Chris, and I play Mandalorian Commando Motu Ordo, and you can call me Mandalorian Commando Motu Ordo, whose duty is combat victory.
I'm Leslie, and I'm Kith, and I'm not calling him Amp. Duty is sabotage, a mechanic and a sabotage, and I will call him Mandalorian Commando Motu Ordo, here to stab things with his swordo.
To start off every episode, I like to ask a question of one of the characters, and in this case it is TV-93, Amp, if you will. Being back on Zorn after being gone for so long, are there any memories that are popping to the fore?
I had a brief conversation about some Jedi. I hope we don't meet some again, because my last encounter of them would not go well. I don't want to brag, but as a tactical droid, I was somewhat successful during our campaign, and having some Jedi right now would really mess us up.
You could just say no.
I got nothing.
just let Ben ask a really ridiculous, convoluted question. Just say, nah.
So if we were to meet some Jedi in this case, it would not be a... Can someone else answer a question? Unless it was a cute Jedi, because, you know, some of them were quite adorable.
Honestly, that's enough of a train. But I think it works.
I have a feeling this is going to be one of those episodes.
I told you I was useless.
For a little bit of a recap, I would like to tap Matu to bring the listeners and us up to speed.
Have you ever had one of those days when nobody listens to you ever about anything? I had one of those days. You see, I had a vision. Not some sort of inspirational vision, but a vision guided by the Force. The very thing that binds us all together. And in that vision, I saw this planet of Zorn. I foresaw our battles. And when I tried to tell our lieutenant, she ignored me. You know, Master Plo didn't warn me that everyone was going to think I was crazy when I finally got around to telling them that I had Force abilities. That would have been useful to know. How come I didn't see that part in the future? So here we are, sitting in the middle of some sort of petty political fight with a bunch of people who have, as their source of power, a bunch of hot rock. So, we're going to have to sort them out, and then somehow repel an Imperial attack of some sort. I don't know how that's going to go, since I've already seen how badly it could go, and now that nobody's listening to me, I'm afraid the future is just going to get worse. So, the next time your friends say, hey, I've seen the future, think about perhaps listening to them.
Dude, it must be really sad to have, like, no one listen to you and treat you like you're a lower form of life and stuff. Like, your opinions don't matter. Wow.
Thank you, Em. Thank you.
Can't imagine what that would be like.
It's the empathy I've been looking for the whole time.
There for you, man.
If I could get everyone to roll their Force pips to start up with the pool for the destiny of the group.
I was going
to
say pip cheerio, but I got a dark side, so I don't know if that counts.
Yeah, I got a dark side too. Fortunately, we had one person who didn't. Because our total pool ends up being 3 dark side points and 2 light side points.
I think we have our little ray of sunshine.
You enter a room, a hexagonal control center, looking like it was made entirely of metal, red lighting coming from panels and up through the floor grating. Cal Corsa, the young leader of this facility, takes his seat on a raised chair in front of the workstation, once used to oversee incoming data from factories of Foundry 4. Seated along a table ringing the raised chair are a dozen clan patricians, included Lyra Hardinen and Viola Sargon. Sitting just away from the council table is Chief Bellows and a Togruta dressed in a knee-length coat made of fine animal hide. Once everyone is seated, two holo projectors flare, and one projection resolves into a red raptor of the Alliance, while the other is the orange viper of the Zon Consortium. Corsa is up at the front and bangs on his desk. Well, thank y'all for coming. We have learned the Imperial forces spearheaded by a captain by the name of Nervi plan to attack Zorn in approximately 48 hours. The patricians, and it's at this point that the patricians mutter among themselves until Corsa holds up a hand. Our friends within the Rebel Alliance, in addition to informing us of the impending assault, have pledged to send an armada sufficient to wipe out the Imperial forces. And Corsa looks first to TV-93, then to Kith, then to Matu, and then to Nima. Unfortunately, they won't arrive in time to stop the attack. We need to convince regional allies to join our fight and to help us hold out for several hours until the armada arrives. We are fortunate to have a team of experts here to aid us in bolstering our defenses.
Nima is frowning during this introduction. We've received some brief orders, but we've been thrown into this without a lot of intel. Is there any obvious way how people are dressed here? Like, is there a...
You need to be holding the pebble.
Is it like Jeopardy? We push a button and like our sign lights up or something? Or kind of a free-for-all?
In my head, I have it that all of the people who are normally here have pretty much descended into harumphing. Like, harumph, harumph. And everyone's just almost yelling at each other of, what are you talking about? Why is this the first time I'm hearing about this? Things along that line.
Okay, so it's just pure chaos at this point, which...
Yeah.
I actually kind of like the idea of people are continuing to talk even while he's trying to make a speech and get everybody's attention. So Nima is going to go ahead and stand up. I picture, you know, with that ring kind of, like, are we standing in the center? Or are we part of the ring? It's kind of picturing us, like, opposite of Corsa.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I've been figuring as well. There's a very formal patricians up front, and then on the other side of all the holographic displays is the four of you. So there's the 15 people on the other side, and then there's four of you standing on your side of the table.
So Nima will go ahead and call out across the ring and the bickering patricians. My orders were a little light before I got here. Why don't we start with what you know? What are we up against?
And it's at this point that the red spinning hawk of the Rebel Alliance coming up.
The Empire's sending at one gladiator-class Star Destroyer, the Blood Ambition, is leading a strike force of it and two Raider-class corvettes, the Sargantuan and the Warhawk. They're carrying approximately 1,300 troops, 5 walkers, 2 squadrons of TIEs, and some support craft.
There was talk of reinforcements. When can we expect them, and what is on the way?
They are due in 53 hours. There's a full squadron of warships that at least double in size this strike force, and 6 wings of starfighters.
You brought me to a death planet.
Which is also your birth planet. How appropriate.
You and I have very different ideas.
Dang, I never thought we'd get a Han Luke thing.
Yeah, basically.
I'm impressed.
Why are we even bothering to hold this position? Why not just evacuate?
And it's with this Corsa stands up. Well, this here's our home. The foundry and the yard are our livelihoods. Captain Renlow has offered to evacuate the children and some of the caretakers temporarily, but the rest of us are here to fight. We're staying here because we've been chased off Gaul, and we must draw the line somewhere. We must draw the line here.
I'm debating whether Nima will ask the question that she really wants to ask here.
Do it.
She's pretty generally mad right now, and it's a little cold-blooded, but she's going to look to the Red Raptor Alliance symbol that's spinning. And she's going to rather bluntly ask, and what is the Alliance going to get out of this?
We help out one of our allies in the sector, and they have pledged to continue helping us with our missions and repairs. For this is a up-and-coming repair yard that is off the books, as far as we knew.
And Lyra Hardinen, who's been engaging in some of the bickering off on her side, her arms crossed across her chest for most of this, especially whenever Corsa talks, just shoots him a couple glares here and there, is going to say,
"Now that's if we can hold out the 5 hours. Right now, I'm not so convinced if you're all the help that the Alliance could send initially. 5 hours is a long time in a battle."
"I'm still not convinced it's worth our effort. We use this because it's an off-the-books repair. If we repel an Imperial attack, it's no longer off the books, is it? Do you think they'll stop once?"
And it's at this point the orange spinning snake head that was on the other side from the Rebellion's Hawk goes,
"Nervi has not informed his superiors of his discovery. Most of the crews in his assault ships believe they are reporting for an exercise near Ryloth. Only his senior staff know the truth. If you can keep Nervi's forces engaged until your reinforcements arrive, the reinforcements can wipe them out. Zorn's significance remains a secret."
"How do we know that? How can we trust that that information hasn't been passed on further?"
With that, the Rebel Hawk talks of,
"We're transmitting a intelligence profile on Captain Nervi right now. The short version is that he's a prideful social climber who married into the Nervi family and took the name in hopes of jumpstarting his political career. He's ambitious, but he's amazingly paranoid."
So in other words, he's an Imperial officer.
I get that way sometimes.
Cacique Corsa, you made mention of allies in the area. Who do you have to call to assist in the defense of Zorn?
"The one that we are looking to for a bit of help here is our friend, Captain Scavi. He's the one who has the contacts of local forces that might be willing to help."
And Nima's eyes turn from the young human over to the Tegruta in the animal hide coat, who's been pretty quiet so far.
"Ah, yes, I can tell you all about them. I'm Captain Scavi Rilo, and I've been operating the Crane and Excarda hyperspace route since longer than you've been alive, girl. Believe me, I've got contacts."
"Do you care to elaborate?"
"I can tell you all about them more later in private. Buy me ship."
"And where is your ship?"
"It's in the landing bay next to yours. How did you not see its fine specimen?"
Actually, it was the ship that you guys passed in the shipyard. It was the bulk freighter that was getting upgunned. Corsa goes, "We don't have much, just some resources here and services we got available. The Rebel Alliance have offered a few additional possibilities, but we'll have to get you a full list of options that you can give the potential allies that you find."
That would be helpful. Cacique Corsa, we're on the clock here. I would like to go ahead and get my team started on evaluating what we can do for the defenses here.
"Oh, by all means. Chief Bellows here will see you around and give you any further detailed information."
"Appreciate it."
"Does this mean we get to leave?"
"It means it's time to put that Bothan brain of yours to work."
"Oh, man. I wanted to go look at the ships."
"Don't we have enough trouble already?"
"Shut you.
I don't have guts."
"We need to take a look around this place. We need to figure out what we can use here if we're going to try to buy 5 hours. 5 hours against over 1,000 troops?" And Nima's eyes do flicker over to Mattu for a moment because, you know, he's already kind of laid things out from the vision previously, but she's hearing the numbers from the intelligence now, but she quickly looks away again, not wanting to get into that whole argument again at the moment.
"Dude, awkward."
5 hours. "We can hold them for 5 hours. You don't have to win the battle. Just make them think twice about engaging at full speed."
"What are you thinking?"
"Well, bloody their nose. Take out the walkers."
"Take them out with what is the first thing we've got to determine. Do they have any large guns here? Do they have anything that Kith can turn into an explosive?"
"Can you make me 1,000 droids?"
"Ooh, those foundries have to be around here somewhere."
"Don't we have the control units from that junkyard on Port Tuga?"
"I don't have enough drums, but if we can make some bass guitars, we could put..."
"You're going to control a fleet of droids with a power cord."
"I'm just saying, you know, I know we don't pay any attention to the droids around here, but, you know."
"Oh, yes. Heaven knows we never listened to any of your ideas, and we didn't give you any important missions. We just kind of ignored you and stuck you in a corner. Oh, no, you stuck yourself in the corner. That's right. That is how that worked out.
That's enough. It's a valid point, TV. We'll see what kind of droids they already have around and see what the factory can churn out for us. And my thought is that they're retrofitting ships up in orbit while... What if that does include weapons? Weapons powerful enough to take down the walkers.
We walked past a whole row of laser cannons when we came in here. I just want to say that. Laser cannons.
Did we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my memory is terrible. I forgot that even though it was 5 minutes
ago.
Honestly,
she was probably talking to people and yelling at Kith to stop wandering around looking at laser cannons.
I actually, it's not out of character at all. Remember what Nima's perception is.
It's not out of the cannibal character.
Nima just blinks and goes, there were?
Yeah.
Look, let's divide and conquer here. Someone needs to talk to Security not Chief dibs. Bellows. Someone needs to talk to these weird people who are arguing about who's in charge. Someone needs to go talk to that rather strange person.
I think divide and conquer is what they do to us.
Actually, I think I know the person you need to talk to. There was mention made of Patrician Harden is their lead engineer here. She might be able to give you the best idea of what toys you have to play with.
She's the one yelling over there. I want to talk to her. Can I just go look?
Bravery, soul twister. Square your shoulders. Stand up straight.
Just short.
Value yourself as a person.
She stands up straight just for Matu.
There we go.
Matu.
Still short.
Why don't you talk to Chief Bellows? TV, why don't you investigate?
Are you sure you don't want me to talk to the Togruta?
I can deal with him.
All right.
And TV, why don't you investigate your droid question? Not quite sure who you need to talk to for that. Maybe Harden, maybe Corsa. You'll figure it out.
TV stands up straight, gives a sharp salute, and then says, you can call me Amp.
No.
And then his head spins over to Kith, and his whole mouth lights up. But little by little, all the lights on the edge go out until only the lights in the little center remain. And then they get bright. And then he walks away.
Are you sticking your tongue out at me?
That is what it looked like.
I never, ever considered that.
I told you to quit it with the Criffin Rebel traffic. This is all yours.
Well, you used to be with the Empire. I bet you've been working with him, with this Nervy, the entire time. Chief Bellows, pull her comms and records immediately.
Like hell I have, you slimy little
Chief
hut-sucking.
Chief Bellows, take the Patrician Harden into custody and throw her into a cell.
You know I'm right, Corsa. This is all your fault.
So they're being very loud over there, yelling back and forth. Is Bellows actually making a move to grab Harden?
No, at this point, Bellows is just sort of
more
pinching
face palming.
His nose. Yeah, pinching his nose, shaking his head, turning towards Matu. He's seen this sort of thing before. They've been going at it for the last 24 hours.
I'm thinking playground whistle. I don't know if Bothans can whistle, because I don't know if it works for their mouth shape, but that really piercing two-finger whistle.
Absolutely.
So, we've got Corsa. Are they actually like nose-to-nose? Because that's kind of what I'm picturing.
Pretty much,
they
yeah.
stood up and they've just been working their way just screaming at each other.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you've got this entire council watching. You've got Snake Face and Hawkhead holographing in the background watching. And Bellows sitting there like, God save me from infants.
So Kith whistles across the, you know, the council chamber. I imagine with that, like, sharp sound, everybody goes quiet for a moment. Everybody looks at you, even Corsa and Harden, who are in the middle of their argument. And all eyes are on the little Bothan.
She raises her hand and said, okay, I know this is a very important argument to have, because blame is more important than survival. But I'd like to know where the droid foundries are. You could just give me directions and I'll be good. And yeah.
What the hell do you want with the droid foundries?
So Skith is now standing there. She raised her hand and now she's holding up both hands like in the big kind of, can we get on with it?
Well, the two foundries that we have, our chief engineer over here retooled them. One to manufacture parts for doing general refits to starships, and another one here for manufacturing turbo lasers and laser cannons for our clientele, such as Captain Rello over there, pointing to the Togruta in the very fine leather jacket.
And each of those factories has a dozen assembly lines. We can produce just about any pre-programmed component within just a couple hours of work.
Can I see them? Or do I just get to hear about them?
And Harden rolls her eyes, but says,
Very well. Come on now. It's not like anything's been getting done here anyway.
She shoots Corsa a look.
Yeah, and with that, Corsa rolls his eyes and walks out the opposite side of the hexagon.
Well, that went well, I think.
And Bellows comes up to the three of you left standing.
That was a bit of excitement now, wasn't it?
Not that much compared to what we're going to see in 48 hours.
Sad, but true.
Please tell me that you have something better than those arguing people as troops.
Troops? Well, I've got my 10 security officers, but we are normally dealing with people trying to jump their bills and getting drunk at one of the bars. We're not normally dealing with invasions.
What kind of ordnance do you have? Ground artillery, long-range missiles, any of that kind of weaponry?
Stored. I've got about 50 blaster rifles. I do have a nice light-repeating blaster, which I'm pretty sure that, like, maybe the tactical droid could use. We've got a bunch of pistols for actual emplacements. We don't have anything built up, but we haven't shipped out our last production run. I'm pretty sure that was, like, 10 laser cannons I could get mounted into at least one or two facilities. And you might be able to get one or two of the wrecks up topside up and running.
You're talking about the old Clone War ships.
They haven't been entirely pulled for parts. I mean, heck, some of the Trade Federation ones probably even have some droids like your good friend over here.
Fighting a walker with a walker wouldn't be such a bad idea either.
If you can get us designs for one, we can build it. Walker, we just don't have designs for it, and it'll probably take longer than 48 hours to make one ourselves, without designs.
Could be that. Amp might have one of the older models stored in his memory bank somewhere. He did mention that his memories were starting to return.
And they were designed to be built pretty quickly back then, en masse. It's also possible, aboard those ships, you'll be able to find some parts that can speed up the work.
Could be that this old factory might have extra excess files somewhere, too. Something in the archives.
They could be a bit deep, but we've only been here for about 10 years, and most of it's been trying to produce and get us up and running. We're just about self-sustaining now with the little bit we import of high-quality metals. What we make is far in excess of what we need to survive now. We can actually start manufacturing for purchase. Or repayment, as the case may be.
So, as far as equipment, the world is our oyster, but we don't have anyone to use them.
I think that's why I need to talk to Captain Relo about that. It would be worth sending somebody aboard both the Separatist ships and, I think I saw a Republic one on the way in, too.
We use a half-functioning acclimator up in orbit to hide our facility for doing refits. The Ikarai 7 is up there, but I know I've seen one pretty close to the landing shafts that looks to be, it's sandblasted, but it has a chance of functioning.
Be good to take a look at that one. We're not going to win a battle in orbit. We might be able to delay them on the ground, though.
All right. My suggestion would be, let's have Amp work on recovering and have Kith work on creating. If we just try to devote our resources to rebuilding old things, we're not going to be able to do it. I mean, the Clone Wars equipment is great and all, but it's not up to par with the new stuff.
Well, being able to take them by surprise would make things much more in our favor. And if it's been able to last out on those sandblasted dunes for this long, it's got to have some sort of strength to it.
No offense meant there, brother. He slaps him on the shoulder.
Amp is in the corner playing air guitar.
TV, you have work to do.
Who?
Ampster, hey, do you think you could figure out if we can either locate an old file on the designs for a walker or see if you got one in your brain somewhere? We could really use a walker. Think about it. We could put the band name on the side of it. Be cool advertisement.
Dude. He makes an exaggerated show of taking his air guitar, tightening up the strap and hanging it on his back, and then he comes on over. A walker? He looks over at Nima. I can tell you're not really interested.
Really, we're back to doing that.
It was in there.
We're going to be up against a few walkers. It would be nice to have one of our own.
Accessing. Anything in the noggin?
Well, I'm sort of figuring that a knowledge warfare check is in order.
Uh-huh.
And I'm kind of thinking that, well, destiny is against you. And I'm generally thinking that this is going to be a... With that, it'll be a 2 purple, 1 red, 1 setback of a difficulty.
Given his returning memories, I have been putting XP into knowledge warfare, but so far still only have 1 rank.
Sadly, I can't think of a means where Nima could donate you her 2nd rank. Not when you're going into your own head.
You could tell me where to look, maybe?
I don't know. I don't know anything about droids.
What was the other thing? Did we decide?
The module in TV's head.
Yeah, I was just trying to remember the mechanical effect.
Gives you a permanent boost.
Can we get a blue because he really wants to paint the band name on the side, so he's really motivated?
I will also go with that.
He'd be more motivated that if he has the information, then he can roll it out slowly to Major Nima, and that'll be a lot of fun.
Major? Major now?
I'm just getting promoted every episode now. Gotta keep up.
Captain. Captain.
Well, unless you're talking to Mantua, in which case you're probably getting demoted again.
Oh, he remembers. 2 success, a triumph, and a threat. So he heard himself remembering, which for Amp at this point is probably appropriate.
Yeah. The question I got is, which type of separatist walker or large droid style would you be wanting? Because I'm thinking anywhere from, like, vulture droids to the hellfire rollers.
The most powerful thing we could create in the next 48 hours. Whether that's one big thing or spider. Lots of small things.
I was thinking, we've got the bit, we've a couple different varieties of spiders. Yeah, they're the hellfire ones on the rollers.
I have no idea what any of these are, but this sounds so awesome.
Because there's a couple of, there's like a really giant spider walker that has like an OG-9 homing
spider droid. 3 guns and it just fires, rotates, fires.
I think a spider would like a make sense, honestly, because of the awkward terrain we will have, and they'll have all the legs so they can have a better grip.
I mean, it kind of does, but it kind of doesn't, because honestly, they're probably of the same size as an AT-AT walker, and the AT-ATs just have way more armor. So armor in like a slugfest, it's going to go down pretty quick, I think.
Well, there's that, or maybe he has the dwarf spider droid that are still, they're like little tanks, and more than one could be built.
TV's mouth lights go all the way up, including 2 at the very end that he had specially installed just for a smile. And he says, I have detailed schematics.
You do? Of what?
Of whatever we decide to build.
You're going to have to come up with an awesome name for it.
Trying to advance the plot here.
Okay.
Going to have to come up with an awesome name for it, dude.
Amps Ride. Actually, I quite like Hamster.
Thank you, Chris, for that.
All right, well, TV, I'm going to want you to get those schematics over to Kith. She's going to be in charge of building new things. And we want you to take a look around and see what you can recover out of the old Clone Wars ships out there.
TV puts up his fingers, does the double shooty gun thing. You got it, Cap. You can call me Imp.
With that, I'm figuring TV's going to head over and take a turbo lift up to the half kilometer up to the surface. They may be like landing shafts big enough so a Silhouette 5 ship can easily sort of come down with tractor beams, but they're a good distance. And they've got turbo lifts going up the sides for ease of access because, well, they're not crazy.
I still don't like turbo lifts. I've had some bad experiences.
What, one exploded? Several. One nearly killed us? You know, these things happen.
Physical training every day.
Some of us were trying to do that. So we were, because it's fun, completely splitting up, Ben. So who do we want to start with first?
Just because I'm wanting to have a bit of fun with it, is there anything more that Mantua is wanting to talk to Bellows about?
No. Not really.
Okay, no, I thought I'd throw that out there. Let's do Kith and Lyra starting to get one of the factories swapped over, or at least a couple of the lines in there swapped over so that they can start building this. I'm sort of figuring they're going to take some parts of the starship factory.
Yeah, I think there was already mentioned to her about repurposing laser cannons. Or was it just, hey, show me the factories?
It was basically, stop arguing and show me the factories, because that wasn't getting us anywhere.
Okay.
Kith doesn't mind participating in bickering, but she doesn't like to listen to other people's bickering.
Okay. Yeah, so Hardin will lead you out towards first the western most factory, which is the Starship Component Factory. So it has a landing shaft nearby, that way materials and stuff can be brought down here. It's got a nice big smelting plant below where you can see all sorts of pretty metals being, you know, melted down and purified and turned into new things, and you just see assembly lines going everywhere. I imagine this looks very similar to the, like, Geonosian factory in Attack of the Clones, where it's just, there's a lot of stuff going on here all at once. It's all these moving parts as just these different pieces are being brought together to build different parts of a starship.
Yeah, and, like, a lot of the parts that are currently towards the end of the stamping set, where it's, like, being formed and put onto the ending, you can see this, like, Clone Wars era Republic cargo transport getting loaded up. All this stuff looks like it's being fitted for the ship that's up in orbit that was attached to
the bulk freighter.
Repair yard, yeah. Yeah.
And as they're walking up, Lyra's looking down at Kith.
Literally or figuratively or both?
Yes.
Ain't you a little young to be a soldier?
Ain't you a little old to be useful?
The corner of her lip turn up a little bit at that, but she goes ahead and crosses her arms again.
Well, if you listen and pay attention, you might learn a thing or two from me.
Okay.
Been in a couple of battles myself. I am curious, though, to hear what thoughts you have on what we can turn these factories into. We've been just retrofitting one ship at a time up till now. Haven't done a lot of military work as of late, even if that's what these factories were originally for. The other factory is, as mentioned, is where we build our weapons for the ships.
Here's a problem. Kith instigated the end of the argument, right? It rounded off in her going off with Hardin, which she was not ready to do. So she's frantically, in her mind, trying to think over a thing Nima and TV and Matu have worked with her on in the world of soldiery. Because she's as civilian comes. She's getting a little better, because, you know, all the crap they've been through. So she kind of looks around, kind of, she does the standing turn where she starts out kind of facing Hardin, and then she does the slow turn. And as she's got Hardin behind her, she allows herself a moment of just absolute panic. And she's thinking, okay, be brave, be brave. Matu thinks you can do this. Nima thinks you can do this. Nobody knows what TV thinks. Be brave. And so she keeps turning. And as she's looking, she's like, okay, this is a starship thing. Why not basically make a starship that can attack? You know, that we don't have time to build a whole starship, but if we've got bits and bobs that we can have that look like Rex, maybe? Because she wasn't around for the actual conversation with Bellows about Rex, I don't think. But she's thinking, like, portions of ships that actually can just shoot unexpectedly. She has no idea what she's doing right now, but that's what she's thinking.
Does she start voicing that?
Yeah. She's going to start kind of talking about, since we're trying to hold them off or delay it, we want the element of surprise. You know, you don't want to show your hand too early, but you don't want to let them wipe you out in the first hit in the first place. So why not something like that?
Well, as you said so yourself, we don't exactly have time to build a whole starship. We might be able to get a couple weapon placements up there, but then we also got to get power generators up there and somebody up there to fire them, and they'll need an environmental... It becomes a lot of parts, but... You know, it's not a half bad idea, but what if we took a different approach? Instead of gun emplacements, we do have the ability to make some ordnance. Mines. Something that we don't need somebody up there for. Don't need a lot of parts.
Get some good explosions. But what's to stop them?
The problem is, we need to ensure that they don't fly into any of the debris up there, go off prematurely.
Well, you wouldn't want to make it physical contact. You'd want to make it We know what kind of ships they're bringing, right?
That we do.
And ships have... In Star Wars, do ships have specific, like, codes or signals that kind of at least tell you what kind of ship they are?
They have transponders.
Yeah, because, I mean, if we set it so that it's not a physical contact, so it's not if they bump into things, but rather if they are triggered by the correct transponder saying, you know, oh, this is the Gladiator. And heck, you could even start playing with magnetized debris, and they wouldn't think much of it. It was just debris hitting their shield or hitting their ship, and then all of a sudden it explodes and rips giant holes in the...
It'll take me about 2 hours to turn one of the factories over into manufacturing a certain component. On this end, we'll need to try to make either computers or someone we can signal the mines to go off when it's time, or ordnance on the other.
Question. Magnets. Well, because magnets are awesome, and we're playing in a world of metal right now, let's be honest. And who doesn't, you know, love the fact that my ship is dragging mines? Would there be a way for them to basically take, like, smaller power sources that they might have elsewhere and turn those into magnets instead of devoting a section of the foundry to making magnets?
Yeah, they don't have anything truly in quantity, but they do have... They may only have 10 security people, but they do have a lot of people who know how to build stuff.
We've got 150 engineers on staff. We can cover a few different areas at the same time. Not all of them have to be working in the factories, although it will depend on what we're building.
This place was totally war-strewn, right? Like, there's massive battles everywhere on this.
Zorn was a site of a Clone War battle.
Okay, so that means there's a lot of debris up top as well.
Yep.
Okay, Kith would like to check that out too, once this gets rolling.
Well, if you want me to go in and get started on the mine idea, then you've got a few hours. Go ahead and take a look around, see what other ideas pop up.
All right, you said something about an environmental suit being necessary?
I was saying if you're going to set up a gun emplacement out there in space, and we're not going to build a whole starship around somebody.
That wasn't topside.
Oh, no.
The
surface, I mean, it's not exactly pleasant. I mean, it's a... You know, there's not a lot up there of interest environmentally speaking, but you don't need a breath mask or anything like that.
Okay.
Is that right, GM?
Yes. I would step in if you were saying something that wasn't.
Now, one other question Kith wants to ask is, she looks at Harden, who she grudgingly almost respects, but at the same time still thinks she's kind of ridiculous for the shouting match in the assembly. She's like, okay, so we've got the whole mine idea. Do we have enough foundry machinery crafting to do more than one project at once?
The way it's set up right now, it'd be best if we focus on one project at a time, get it rolled out. But once that's done, there's no reason we can't queue up ideas and have me immediately go into the next one. It only takes a couple hours to shift a project over to something new.
Okay, and then one last question. Is there a workroom that I could use?
I'm certain we can clear out a space for you somewhere. How big a space do you need?
Big enough for me to work on something a little bigger than a sand speeder.
Well, bigger than a sand speeder.
And access to some parts.
At this point, I'm kind of wanting to jump over to Nima and Captain Rello.
Okay. Nima will head on over to his ship, which... Is it in orbit or is it on the landing pad as he mentioned?
The ship actually is in orbit. It's the one that is being worked on by the giant arm on the acclimator wreck that's up there. This is a Silhouette 6 ship.
Oh my.
It doesn't really go in
atmosphere
all that often.
So Nima will go back to the vanishing point and at least confirm with Kith before she takes the ship anywhere of I'm going to go up and meet up with Captain Rello.
They do have these cargo ships that are flying up almost constantly and back down. So they pretty much have a little transport system going. They've got four of these cargo ships that are almost constantly going from the surface up, unloading, and back down. It's pretty easy to catch a ride on any of one of them.
Okay, then in that case I won't need to move our ship, and I'll just see about catching a ride on one of those. It is bigger than even I thought it was.
Holy cow.
It is not a tiny ship.
Okay, Silhouette 6 is getting into, like, small Star Destroyer sized. It's a really, really big ship. It's already well into capital ship class.
I don't really care what it looks like. I was just more confused. I think, because I think if Nima's leaving, that's indicative of something.
That makes sense.
Like I would have a hard time feeling like, oh, I'm just gonna pop off planet for a minute. Like, you know what I mean?
Given some of the battlefield will be in orbit of the planet, it doesn't feel too odd to me.
But you don't think it's weird that she would go without resolving anything with Motu or telling anything else to the crew? Just be like, all right, I'm going to leave. See you later.
She did
like,
say she was going to talk to Captain Relo earlier. And she would at least come in and let people know she's going to go have that conversation. She's catching a cargo, one of these cargo transports up.
No, this is not a logistical question. This is a
emotional, let's have a chat about what happened question.
Well, it's just like, I want you to be aware that if she leaves in the middle of all of this, Motu is going, if like, you know, like those Telltale games.
Yes.
Do you ever play one of those? It's going to be like, Motu will remember
yes.
this.
Motu remembers this. Yeah. I get that reference.
Which is fine. I just want you to be aware that that's going to have a ramification.
Which I don't think Nima's thinking about right now. Again, Nima is...
Cool.
Nima said what she said, and Nima, I don't know if she's being too prideful right now or just probably just too stubborn, but she's not yet ready to sit down and have that heart-to-heart, let's hash this out. That's almost something I feel like she would do once we're en route somewhere else, once there is a quiet moment between them that she didn't have to force. Because right now she's in work mode.
If she leaves, which is fine, I think then Motu, having no other immediate objective, will probably just ask Bellows if they can go on like a little speeder ride to survey the immediate perimeter.
Yeah, Bellows would absolutely be in for
okay,
that.
We don't have to do anything about it. I just want his time to be accounted for. That's what he's doing, and we can come back to that later.
Absolutely, and you guys going on doing a perimeter run, anything y'all are setting up, like Kith with the lines, Matu doing a perimeter run, TV going into the core ship graveyard and trying to raise droids or something, playing a droid necromancer or something. I do want to get rolls off of all of you for that.
Sure, yeah. Okay then, so as you approach Captain Shock V Relo, he is singing, I'm a Togruta pirate, but you can count on me. I cheat, I steal, I swindle, but you can count on me. And then he turns over to a bunch of droids and says, well, who was idea? Was it to put these Flutix lines right above my starboard alluvial damper coupling? Who do you think have to pay for all this when it breaks? Why are they...
Hold on. Just be quiet, droid. I don't have much time here, lady. I've got to get the seven spaceworthy again, if I'm going to, you know, avoid all of this conflict.
Avoid? You're running.
Look, I may talk like a dashing space pirate. I may look like a dashing space pirate, and I might even act like a dashing space pirate. But let's get realistic here for a minute. The only reason I am what I am is because I was born at a lower socioeconomic class, which prevented me from having the educational opportunities to advance myself in the current society of the Empire. But I had enough brains and smarts about me to know that I was in this bad situation, so I couldn't very well submit to myself to that kind of authoritarian government, but I didn't have the means to actually get myself out of it. So I've made a living out here on the edge. So if you think that I'm going to go push myself against them so I could get crushed under those shiny stormtrooper boots, you've got another thing coming.
You are a pirate. Maybe we can make a deal.
I don't think you have enough credits in the entire alliance.
Well, I imagine all of these refits on a ship of this size, that had to cost you a pretty credit.
It might have. And I might have had to done a few things to get them as well. But another 12 hours, I'm out of here. Soon as these droids here... I mean, look at this fine craftsmanship. And he kicks one, and the leg falls off the droid, and the droid falls over. Alright, so these droids aren't worth their weight in scrap. But, you know, eventually I'll get out of here.
But if you stay, you can leave a little richer. Keep a few more of your credits in your pocket. I'm sure that the people of Zorn will compensate you for any repairs to your ship that are necessary afterwards. I'm not asking for you to go toe-to-toe with the Star Destroyer. We just need to delay them by some time. Take a couple pot shots. Maybe make one of their corvettes chase you for a little bit.
Look, I agreed to take a few refugees off the planet because I'm a kind soul deep down past all this dashing exterior. But if you want me to stay, you're going to have
you're
to
so
more
full
leadership.
Of crap, Chris.
I'm fine with that. Is it a leadership check or am I negotiating? What am I doing here?
I think it says leadership. That's what
it was. I hope it's leadership. I like leadership.
Yeah, leadership makes sense.
Yeah, leadership does kind of make sense with what's been going on. Like, you've been buttering him up. I'm figuring that's either leadership or charm.
I'm going to go with leadership. Nima has no charm. Let's be realistic. Okay, what is my difficulty?
It says, I don't know, is this cool or discipline?
I thought everything was discipline.
I guess cool.
Yeah.
I only have the stats for cool, so I'm going to go with that. It's two red and a purple.
Okay.
But it's upgrade once if it's endangering the ship, which
Ouch.
It is, and then add two black. So three red, two black.
Okay. Well, Captain Relo here has made a mistake in calling for a leadership test in particular, because Nima has quite a commanding presence and gets to throw out both of those blacks.
Hey.
And I'm going to flip a light side point. Bulk Freighter will be very helpful here, and I think the force is trying to help preserve as many lives as possible. So we're looking at a green, three yellow, and a blue for my rank of command versus three red.
Holy cow.
This is going to get nasty one way or the other. Okay, I've done it again, people. I've done it again. I have a magic gift with the dice in this this game here. So I got four successes, a threat, a triumph, and a despair. So four successes, I think he's caving here.
He's also a softie, apparently.
You know, that dashing pirate, you know,
his big cuddly
mentality,
to heart.
It's, he's given in there. But there's some consequences. I can't believe I succeeded, much less that well.
I want to know what your threat is.
I'm not at all surprised by the despair.
Okay, I gotta look at that again. You're taking the obvious threat there.
A strain?
And yeah, this is just, from a hero standpoint, hey look! This is one they didn't have to spend a destiny point on. But still got the despairs.
I always deliver, Ben.
Okay, what happened? What's the despair?
The despair? I'm figuring that Captain Rello, he's turned the guilt and the buttering up that Nima has put upon him has turned into a bit of, like, yes, he is going to stick around, send some of his crew down to help with the preparations. I'm figuring the despair, like, with this, with what he's willing to do, it's sort of hardening his heart of he now really dislikes
Nima. Get in line.
Unless there's something better that you guys can come up with, because, like,
this is going to cost ya.
I know. Name your...
I don't want credit.
What do you want?
Your ship.
Dun, dun, dun.
You're talking about the Nubian transport I came in on.
I'm all ears.
Yes, it's a very fine ship. And I'm sure if its cause is so great to you, you wouldn't mind parting with it, would you?
I'm thinking for a moment of... And Nemo actually would, like, cross her arms, and she's thinking for a moment whether she's going to completely screw Kith over or not.
I mean, it's not like you couldn't back out of it later.
It doesn't tend to be the way Nima works. She has a one cunning.
This is also true.
Doesn't get my drums.
What's going through Nima's head right now, like, you know, she flew in on that cargo transport. Like, this bulk freighter is massive. Did she get a sense of how well armed it is?
This thing here is, like, it's large enough that it can easily take on a Krellian corvette, like, to dock up, to knock one out of a fight. Like, this thing is pretty gigantic. Like, it's the next size up. Think, actually, off the top of my head, I think it's in the same size class as the Shadow Raptor.
Yeah.
It started off as a bulk freighter, though. So it's just here with its little cargo pods, and that's what it normally was. Now it has a bunch of turbo laser emplacements on the outside of it. It's a lot better armed. It has a tractor beam on it, so it can pull stuff in. But it's still at its very base, this gigantic freighter.
Okay, I have an idea for the Triumph, and it's a stupid one.
Okay.
So when Nima came in aboard that cargo transport, she actually had to land in the Sevens, like hangar bay itself, right?
I was figuring actually in the Acclimator's hangar bay, but yeah, the Sevens also works.
Oh, okay. Well, let's say for argument's sake that she passed by and she got to see hangar bay. I'm thinking, you know, on a ship this big, he's got to have smaller ships or transports or something. Maybe like
you're going to trade my ship.
A nice, really beat up old freighter or something there that's looks a step worse than the Millennium Falcon, like something of that nature. Where this is not a very nice ship, and really, really Relo's looking to get an upgrade here. Because what Nima's going to say is deal, but I noticed that, I don't know what model of ship I want it to be.
To be determined later.
How about this? We make it a trade. Nubian ship's a lot nicer, it's a lot faster, better armed, but this way we're not left without transport.
You want the marshmallow handshake?
You really need to work on naming ships, but yes, if that's what that thing is called.
What's yours called?
The Vanishing Point.
Oh, that's a lot better, you're right. Well, you can rename the Marshmallow Handshake to whatever you like, because that sounds like a fair deal to me. And he spits in his hand and holds it forward.
Like a look of disgust cross her face, but she'll go ahead and clasp hands with him.
All right, now that we've made a pirate's accord, weren't you originally up here to find out about other allies in the area?
Yes, I was. Yeah, I think Nima has just resigned herself to her entire squad is going to hate her. And
except for TV. Yeah.
We're just working on how TV is going to start hating her.
Do you have a couple options for us?
There are, but I'm not sure you're going to like either of them. The only group on planet that might be willing to raise Blaster to the Imperials are, well, a little group of Mandalorians.
Actually, that shouldn't be too problematic. At least I don't think so.
Oh, really? Because Baroya, that's the clan leader. Oh, she is a hard case. But, you know, all the Mandalorians are. I don't know if you know any.
I know one or two.
Yeah, well, then maybe you have got the temperament to deal with them, because I certainly don't. But if you want, I'll set up the meeting for you.
Please.
Very well.
Any other options?
Well, I mean, I don't know why you'd need more than a group of war-crazed mad Mandalorians, as long as you can pay for them, but, you know, we're not that far from Kawak.
Kawak. I'm not familiar with it.
You're not? K-O-W-A-K? Kawak? You know.
I'm from the core. Don't have a clue.
You know, I thought you had that way about you. Well, let me explain a few things for you. Yeah, do you know what a Zygerian is?
Ben, I would actually like to make a knowledge check on that.
Knowledge Outer Rims? Sure. Sounds good. Zygerians, eh. I have far too many dark side points, so I'm going with one purple, one red.
Okay, I'm going to shoot myself in the foot and try to help myself at the same time. Well, given Christine knows what they are, given what they are, it's more likely Nima might have heard about them in passing and already have a hatred of them.
I can see that. I can absolutely see that.
But also,
so what do you want for that?
Nima is just a simple core world girl, and I've made it abundantly clear she's only been on a ship a couple dozen times at this point, and she's still not used to the Outer Rim, so I probably get a setback too.
On the other hand, you also, as far as I'm concerned, talk yourself into a setback, but also, like, two boosts off that, because kind of possibly knowing about them from your previous job and whatnot. Yes.
Okay. So, two green, two blue, a purple, a red, and a black. Oh my god, she knows. Nima just starts glaring, just her entire demeanor, like, she just tenses up when he says that. You're talking about slavers.
Indeed. I mean, I don't deal with those sort meself because it gives me the heebie-jeebies. Also, Togruta, oftentimes slaves, so don't want to get caught up in that. But Prince Molek, M-O-L-E-C,
K-E-Y?
He's the, he leads the Zygerian auction house there. And, you know, if you really needed an army, you could buy a whole slave army. Probably get a good deal on Wookiees. You know, there's always seem to be a lot of Twi'leks around. They're not great with a blaster, but...
Nima's hands are curling up into fists.
I can see this subject makes you uncomfortable, so I'm just going to leave that on the table. Maybe focus on the Mandalorians, and I'll get my people ready, clean the vomit out of the marshmallow handshake, and
so much rage.
Get about our horrendous day.
So much rage.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and you can find me, Ben, on Twitter at Deuterium Ice.
And you can find me, Christine, on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12 TH and Night with a K.
Dude, you can totally find TV93, but you can call me Amp at iBrent Brown on Twitter.
And you can find me, Kith, mourning the loss of her ship in a corner on Twitter at LeslieGS.
Listen here, you scurvy space dogs. Get yourself over to SillZeroPodcast.com for more ridiculous voices and ridiculous situations. Or you can just yell about my horrible, is it Irish or is it English pirate accent at SillZeroChris, S-I-L-Z-E-R-O.
I've got the Muppets Pirates song stuck in my head now.
15 men on a dead man's chest. Oh,
we're all at thehydeanway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcasts are on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes from the Hydean Way.
Drop a holocom to heroes@thehydeanway.com. You can request for Chris to do more silly voices, ideas maybe for our defense of Zorn. Who knows?
If you like what we do and want to support the show in such ways as trying to get better editing software or help us replace some of the microphones, you can do that at patreon.com/thehydeanway.
Now take Sir Francis Drake. The Spanish all despise him, but to the British he's a hero and they idolize him. It's how you look at buccaneers that makes them
bad or good. I see us as members of a noble brotherhood. There we go.
Hey ho ho, you'll cruise the foreign shores.
You'll keep your mind and body sound by working out of doors.
There you go. Because when you're a professional pirate, you don't have to wear a suit.
A countdown, so like 3, 2, 1, and then
that's
clap.
That's not on 3. That's reverse.
All right. Well, that's on 3. You know, there's. Never mind.
Are you clapping as you say the word one or after?
I was trying to avoid the conversation that every character in media has regarding the count to three.
And the beautiful part is this is actually being recorded.
Okay. And 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Oh, that was awful.
That was terrible, people. Hold
on. Yeah, it was.
All right, I'm doing this. Fun. Ready? Let's go. A one. A two, a one, two, three, four, like that. There you go.
I might have hit my all mic right. That time.
Sorry. I didn't even clap. I was already laughing.
Perfect.
Well, I know what's going to go in the bloopers.
Chris being disgusted with us.
This episode.
Yep.
I quit.
And rightfully so.
He's going to go start a podcast with his students who at least can keep a beat.
This is Hydeans of the Hero Way.
Before I forget, I do want to get us to roll for initiative.
Wow, this is a really intense political meeting.
This council meeting got a lot more interesting.
Machu, get the blade out.
Sorry. Yes, if I...
three successes.
He is just blasting away at this blasted thing. Like,
sorry.
I don't feel like being in politics.
Because our total pool ends up being 3 dark side points and 2
yeah,
light
Brent,
side
because
points.
Because he's stoned out of his mind. Well, TV, yeah. Brent is not stoned yet. His stash.
Those programs, man. Those programs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My stash looks like flash a flash stash. Drive.
That's exactly what I figured. You know, you just take a hit off of it.
This is just not going to go well tonight. I don't think. We're all
that was horrible and perfect, Leslie.
And Nima's eyes turn from the young human over to the Tegruta in the animal hide coat, who's been pretty quiet so far.
No, it's me. Hold on.
Question.
Is it Tegruta? I didn't see that here.
Yeah, he's a Tegruta.
I might have missed that. I'm sorry.
Okay. He's still good. It doesn't matter. I'm still using a pirate, so. Ah, yes, I can tell you all about them.
Because that wasn't actually said out loud. I just want to say that.
I'm Captain Scavi Rilo. I am a Togruta, apparently. And I've been operating the Crane and Excarga hyperspace route since longer than you've been alive, girl. Believe me, I've got contacts.
Do you care to elaborate?
I can tell you all about them more later in private. Buy me ship, because that's what it says to say on the paper.
Do we know what Scabby is?
Yeah, it's a Gruta.
No. I mean, do we know?
Apparently.
35.
Cut me if I'm out of place here, but he's the slaver, right?
No.
He is a pirate.
Okay, so I'm side. I was about to say, because we're not sending
Nima to
talk to a slaver.
No, that happened.
He was
then,
a pirate. Then, what am I supposed to think?
Then Nima would come back and be like, well, I don't know what happened to him, but we have a bulk freighter.
Yeah, and there's this bloodstain. Exactly. Kif, do you remember how to get rid of bloodstains on metal? There's a dead bug in my tea. I want to cry.